And we begin again. Take two. Daf Yudav Beis. So we're discussing a violin with Taplin bit of Vela. So Amalei Rav Kahana LaRav. Rav Kahana says to Rav, and there's a gears that says what says Rav Kahana LaRav. So this is a different Rav Kahana than the Rav Kahana that brought down and was brought down in the previous Gemara. Ella Taima the Kasa Rachman of Amesi Elo. The only reason why we know that the violin on Taplin bit of Vela is because the Torah writes for Amesi Elo. But then the we have a Havmina Halav Hachi Havmina the Vela the Mazik Havi. Without that pasuk, we would say that the Nevela belongs to the Mazik, and therefore the Mazik wouldn't be able to use the Nevela to pay back the damage. Hashta, but wait, eat is lately they come with trefos, yoyble. If the Mazik has tons of trefos to use, right, he's got a stock full of Nevelas and trefos, question how he has all the Nevelas, not having a topil with tref animals. But let's say for whatever reason he has anything you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to do business with. The whole shayla about owning stock in McDonald's and things like that. But I have a meal the veil the mazik have hashta easily the day kabi trefos yoyvle the amar yashiev the rabos peshava kesef I feel a stupid. You can even pay back bran, so why can't you use the veilos to pay back? So the day me boy, if he can use other nevelos, he can't use the nevela itself. Of course he can pay back with the nevela. So what's the pasuk coming to teach me that you can use that the nevela goes to the nizak, that the essentially the mazik can use the nevela as payment? Of course he can use the nevela as payment. He can use anything for payment. So the Gemara says, no, lo nitzricha, the pasuk is coming to teach us, el lefkas nevela, the depreciation of the carcass. What happens? Rashi says, lefkas nevela, the haki amar rachmana. The Torah says as following, this is the last Rashi, the mishas misa kai brususei denizok. From the time of death of the animal belongs to the nizok. The im hisriach upiksa damim, and therefore if the value of the animal depreciates from the time it was killed to the time of the din, that depreciation value is the nizak's, he bears the brunt of that loss. And the mazik pays the mazik only pays the difference between the value of a live animal to a dead animal at the time the animal was killed. Not at the time that it was brought to Hamad Abedin. The depreciation from the time of Misa to the time of Hamad Abedin, that loss is borne, with an E, is borne by the Nizak. Okay? So he says, Lo Nitzchah Ella Livchas Nevela. So just quick thing, again, the Rav Nachum for the day, quick thing, we say that the Bialim is metaplim benevela, and therefore you can pay back, and you can pay back with the nevela itself. The nevela dies, here's the nevela, and we pay the difference. So what's the lumnus behind that, right? What's the hesber between that? So all the achronim discussed it. It's a famous afike yam. There's a famous talmud of Rav Chaim. In the sugya, there's a few afike yams that we talk about. The drinks about maybe we'll do it this week. Kiddush Makom Suda. That's the sugya we're learning in Shabbos. So what's the lumnus behind that? The bottom of top of nevela. So the way Rav Nachman presents it is the halacha that we view the damage that occurred as the difference between a live and a dead animal. Meaning, if a live animal is worth $1,000 and now it's dead, it's worth $100. Is it now that the mazik only did $900 worth of damage? He only damaged the difference. The damage doesn't come into the nevela. Damage is only on the difference. Or do we say no? The damage is $1,000, but the din is that the meisi elo, the din is mechadesh, the mazik fulfills his repayment obligation through the nevela. I mean, the entire, you have to look for nafkaminas. I mean, the entire animal was destroyed. All $1,000 was destroyed, and now he's paying back $100. Or is it no? He only did damage to the difference. He only did damage to the 900. Okay. So, Gemara says, Lema, let's say that Pchas Nevela Tanaihi. Let's say that the din of Pchas Nevela, whether it belongs to the, whether the depreciation is borne by the Mazik or the Nizak. That is a machlokas tanayim, because based on the way they're going to learn the following pasuk, we could say that it's machlokas tanayim. The tanya, that we learn in a brisa. The pasuk says, again, it's talking about a shomer sachar. Im tarof yitaref yivi ehu aid. If it gets whatever he's watching gets destroyed, gets eaten, he should bring an aid. What does that mean? So the Hanukkah says, the Darsh of the Pasuk, Yavi, as we turn over, Yavi Edim Shenitrafa Ba'ones Upater. The Shomer Sachar should bring Edim, that this whole thing happened Ba'ones, and such a Shomer Sachar is Pater Ba'onsin, mentioned that a little bit last night. If the Shomer Zachar is Pater Ba'onsin, then you would be Pater. Rashi says, U Pater, the Shomer Zachar, Pater Ba'onsin. Kedeksiv, Be'u Meso Nishbar, O Nishba, in Roa Shuas Hashem, Tiebet Nishneim. You do like a Shvua, you swear, and you Pater. That's it, you don't have to do it. So the Tanakam is learning from here the din of a Shomer Zachar Ba'onis. Now, how to read the next lines of Gemara is a major machlokus. We'll try to go according to what Rashi says. Avashol Omer, it's also machlokus, how to read Rashi. Avashol Omer, Yavi Aduda. What does this mean? It says, Yavi Edim Shenitrafa, Yavi Eduda. Rashi explains, he should bring Aduda, he should bring the Nevela Lebezdin. He should actually bring the Nevela Lebezdin. He says, Aduda Nevela Lebezdin, why? Lishuma Kama Hishava. To evaluate how much the Nevela is worth. So Avashol is working about a case here where the mazik is chayiv. We're not talking about onsin. We're talking about something else where he's chayiv on this, right? Avashol Amar Yavi Aduda Lebezdin. The Gemara says, "My lav v'ha kamifli." Why are they learning out two different cases? Why are they learning out two different cases in the pasuk? Demar Avashol is going to hold p'chas nevela denizakave. Umar and Atanakama is going to hold Savar de Mazik Havi. How does that work? Because Avashol says that if Pchas Nevela is according to the Nizuk, then the Nizuk in this case is the Mafkid, and the Nizuk is going to be loose. Therefore, if the Shomer was Poshea, right, and the animal got eaten and destroyed, he has to pay. So therefore, we say to the Shomer, listen, there's going to be a depreciation on something's going to happen to the Nizuk, because if you delay, if you tarry in bringing this, the pachas is going to be borne out by the nizak. Therefore, you have to bring it to court. Torah is telling you, really, you would think the nizak would have to bring it. The Torah tells you the mazik should bring it to court right away to make sure we evaluate so there's no loss. So that's why Avashol says. And this Rabbi Rabbi helped me with this last night, because there are a lot of rishonim that learn it very differently. But Mar the Tanakhama says the mazik have no. It's the reason why he doesn't learn that you have to bring the Aduda, you have to bring the Nevela, he learns the Pasuk for a different case, is because he says the Pchas Nevela belongs to the Mazik. So you don't have to bring it to court. What's the difference whether it depreciates or not? The Mazik has to pay for it anyway, so that doesn't make a difference. There's no point in bringing it to court to evaluate. There's the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Mefari, is completely the opposite. That Avashol is the one who holds the Pchas Nevela as the Mazik, and you have to bring the Nevela based in order to pay it to the Nizak. It's just the Tosis Rid. We'll just go according to how Rashi explains. So you see from here that maybe Pchas Nevela, whether it belongs to a Mazak or to a Nizak, is a Machlokas Tanayim. So Gemara says, no, lo, the Kulei Alma de Nizak. Everyone agrees that Pchas Nevela is borne by the Nizak. He's responsible, he loses out if there's a depreciation in value from the time of Misa to the time of Hamad Abedin. Alright, so what's the Machlokas between Avashol and the Chachamim? Here the machlokus is just on who lies the responsibility to be toreach and bring the nevela out from where it died. The nevela fell into a pit. It's sitting on the bottom of at least a 10 tefach pit. Costs money to bring it out. It's a pain in the neck to bring it out. Who's responsible to bring it out from the pit? Because you can use it as payment. I mean, either you have to use a payment or he has to sell it to offset the damages. Nevertheless, who has responsible to bring it out? So therefore, Avashol says it's on the Mazik who has to bring it. That's why it says, Yavi Aduda. The Mazik is responsible. But the Tanakam will hold it, the Torah has mutal on the Nizak. The Nizak has to bring it out. And if the Nizak has to bring it out, so the Edim that he's talking about is talking about a different case. He's talking about the case of Ones trying to prove his innocence. So the Gemara says, Gemara is going to bring a brisa to support Avashol. We're just going to finish a little bit and then to talk about this. The Gemara says, Vahatanya, we learned in a brisa. Right, Rashi explains that this brisa is a nichusa, this is a support. Acherim omrim, others say, Minayin shal bal habor. How do we know that it's on the mazik to bring lahalos shor miboro, that the mazik has to bring up the shore, like Avashol, it's on the mazik. Talmud lomar, kesav yoshiv leva'alov vehames. Meaning, he has to be kesav yoshiv leva'alov vehames. Meaning, not only does he have to pay the mazik, he has to return to the island that the mazik have to pay. He has to return to the Nizak, also the Nevela, and bring it out from the pit. Rashi says, Kesav Yashiv Labalov Hames, Mashma She'af Hames Yashiv Labalov. He also, that's a proof to Avashol. So now the Gemara is going to just go a little bit. What's the case? Why does he? What's the case that we have to bring it out from the pit? Amar Leib Rabbi Rava, Hay Torach Nevela Hechidami. What's the case? Ilema Divid Rei Shavei Zuza. If in the pit, the pit's not worth anything, you can't get. There's no access to it. So if in the pit, it's worth one zuz. right? The aguda shavi arba, when you bring it up to the top of the pit, right, the aguda to the svasa pit, to the border, it's worth arba zuz, right? Well, I don't need a pasuk for this. Ki tarich bidinashe tarich. Everyone says, right, when you're toreach to bring up the nevela, he's doing it for himself because he's going to pay less. Because everyone agrees that that pchas nevela is on the nizak. So if the mazik brings it up, and now the thing is worth four as opposed to one, he's lessening the amount of damage he has to pay by three. So what's the chiddush that the mazik has is tarach nevela? Of course he's going to do it because he wants to pay less. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rava, lo tzricha devari shavizuz v'aguda navi shavizuz." No, it's worth one in the pit, it's worth one outside of the pit. So it gets no benefit from it. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second, omika gavna." It's logical. Does that make any sense? In the pit, it's worth the same thing as outside of the pit. In the pit, it's worthless. You can't do anything with it. So the Gemara says, "In no, I'll prove to you that there is a metzias kazeh." And what's the proof? A saying, right? Daha amri inish k'shur b'masa zuzah k'shur b'davar b'zuzah. Sometimes a board when it's in the city is worth a zuz, and sometimes the board when it's in the midbar is also worth a zuz. So dealing with the case here also where it's worth the same in the pit and outside the pit. However, that works economically. But we're dealing with the case where the mazik's not going to necessarily gain benefit by bringing it out. The Torah is mechadish that the mazik is still the one who has to be toreach to bring out to bring the animal out from the pit. So we see that kuli alma the nizak. Everyone agrees with the nizak shaminan that the nizak bears the brunt of the depreciation loss. But b'hacha b'torach nevela kamiflaki. But we hope, I mean, we're going to hold like Abba Shaul that the mazik is responsible to retrieve the nevela. So the nizak bears the brunt, and the mazik is the one who has to bring it out. So sort of going the opposite way, the mazik can just delay, right? The pchas is on the nizak. The mazik will delay. It'll get depreciated, you know, it'll get worse and worse, and he doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to pay for that because he only has to pay the difference what it was worth at the time it was dead. So the Russian Simon Yalov says that it's not that the mazik has to go get that the mazik has to go get the animal from the pit. It's just that he has to pay for the extraction. But the nizik himself is the one who has to extract once he becomes aware of the nevela. So besides the paying for the damage, the mazik has to pay for how much it costs to extract it from the pit. But the Rambam in Hilchos Niskei Mamon, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Gimel, says that the mazik actually has to extract the nevela. Because the lashon is, he says, Ma'aleh ha'nevela min habor, v'nosna l'nizak. He pings it up from the boar and he gives it to the nizak. Imagine that he's actually the one bringing it up. Right? And then, right, the achar kach shamalo pchas nevela. And then after he brings it up, you evaluate how much the nevela is worth. Now the Rush says that the pechas nevela begins once the nizak is aware of the nevela, even if the nevela is still in the pit. So once I'm asked at your pit, you're sure. Once I tell you that your shore is in the pit, damaged, that's when the pechas goes. You got to go ahead and bring it out. But the Rambam says no, that the clock runs only after the extraction. I think it's the shitaso, because the Rush says that the nizak is the one who has to bring it out. The nizak has the one who has to bring it out. So then once he knows he has to bring it out, go right ahead and bring it out. Any delay is your fault. It's just the mazik has to pay for the extraction. The Rambam says that the mazik himself has to bring it out. So therefore, he says that the clock only starts after it's brought out. Because if the clock starts before it's brought out, then the mazik will just, like we said before, the mazik will delay, and he'll force the issue by making the animal worth less and less. But he won't have to pay for that. He'll only have to pay for what it was worth the time it was dead.
I guess we want to get it out of the pit fast.
We could.
The better condition that it's in.
Right.
The less money he loses.
Correct.
Less money he loses.
So that's what the Rush says. So the Rush says,
so he would rush to get the thing out.
The Rush says because the nizuk is responsible to pull it out, and the mazik is responsible for pay for that extraction. Exactly what you said. The second the nizuk knows about it, he's got to get it out. But the Rambam says that it's the mazik who has to pull it out. The nizuk has no responsibility to pull it out. He may want to, but since the mazik is the chiyuv is on the mazik to pull it out, not just to pay for it, but to actually do the extraction. Therefore, the clock starting for the depreciation only begins after the mazik fulfills his responsibility and pulls it out. Because if the mazik doesn't pull it out,
he's still on the rush.
Exactly. That's why he says, according to the Rambam, let's say it's worth 1,000 alive. It's worth 100 when it gets damaged and sitting there. But the mazik delays, and when he finally brings it out, it got ruined, it's now only worth 50. So the Rambam now says the damage is 950. Because it's not like Rashi says, Bishas Misa. It's at, it, you start you calculate the difference at the time you pull it out, because the mazik has to pull it out. That makes sense, because otherwise you're gonna, if you leave it in there and you're not responsible for it, you're just in another $50 worth of damage. To, okay, fine.
The mazik's in a rush.
But that, so the Maharam says we're going to force the Rambam to be the mazik to be in a rush, so he pays less. Because if the mazik, if we tell the mazik, listen, if by the time you take it out, it's worth less. If you're responsible for it, go get it now. It's worth 100.
Right.
So that's what the Rambam says. The mazik has to go do it. Okay. Next. Again, this is one of those dapim that it's not for daf yomi. I mean, I was telling someone a story last night. The story goes on that the first time around, they were learning the daf yomi. So it was a chaver daf yomi I was learning. In walked Rav Meir Shapiro. I said, the guy who started, the rav who started this whole concept of daf yomi is here. Let him give the shiur. So I said, let's give the shiur. 5 hours later, they left and they went to work. That's what they did. So whatever, let's keep going. So Amar Shmuel, now that we learned that by Nezakin you can actually pay with the animal. Meaning if the Nevela is part of the payment, the question is, can you do that for a Ganav or Gazal? Let's say I steal something and it breaks. I steal a chair and I crack it, the chair cracks into smithereens. But the shards are worth money. I have to pay you back. Can I give you the shards and then just pay you the difference? So the answer is no. Amar Shmuel, and we're gonna learn again many ways to learn this, like Rashi and Tosos. Amar Shmuel Ain Shamin, Rashi says is a minog dayanim, but Ain Shamin, Lolaganov, the Lolagazlan, Elam Rizakin. Meaning, if a person steals something, a behemoth kli, and the thing dies, you can't use the actual carcass, or you can't use the shards as part of the payment. Rather, you have to pay either another thing that exactly like you stole, or money. Why? So Tosfos seems to indicate that this whole thing is based on because of Kinyanim. Because the Ganov and the Gazlan have Kinyanim Gazela. If I steal something, right, and then I change it, and there's a shinoi, as the ganav, I have some sort of kinyanim. It's not a good thing to do, but I have kinyanim. I can use this to be mekadesh nisha. That's the quintessential example of type of kinyanim that you have. I can use this to be mekadesh nisha with. It's mine. We learned it a lot. We'll learn that when we get to Meruba.
Why isn't it knas?
What?
Why isn't it knas?
What knas?
I don't want to make the ganav's life a little easier.
But then we're going to get there. There's a halakha, and then we'll talk about a knas. I'll pidin that the item belongs to me. Right? So we're saying by the nevela, when by a mazik, if you did the damage, we're saying that the nevela belongs, the pasuk says the nevela belongs to the nizah. Here we're not saying the nevela belongs to the guy who was stolen from. It belongs to the gazlan. So you can't give him that garbage back. If the pasuk says it, behesha v'sakzeila sher gazlan, you have to give him back what you stole. So let's look at Tosos. Tosos ain't shonim mol gana v'lo gazlan perish hakuntrus ain't shonim hanevela v'ashram lebailim sheyachzir haganav habchas eli yishalim behema shlema. To pay a full behema, the kalim ulim or complete kalim, the hashvarim shalo, and the broken pieces belong to the gazlan. The alpha got the kaimon on yashiv l'rabo shava kesef kekesef. Even though we said yashiv means you can pay shava kesef v'afilu subim, not ganav v'gazlan shiny. A ganav and a gazlan is this different mishum l'ksiv asher gazal ke'ein shegazal. You have to give back similar to what you stole. Hilchak sarich latzir hagzela odamel, or it's money. So money is not what you stole. So the Rush says, because money is liquid, liquidity is worth, is almost the same thing. If I have money, I can buy a table. It's just very easy. Below Subim, and you can't pay back Subim. And he brings a Yerushalmi, the Chaymash Yerushalmi, Minayin, and the Yerushalmi brings two Psukim though. Minayin, one for a Ganav, one for a Gazlan. Minayin, Shain, Shalom, Lola Ganav, Lola Gazlan, Amr of Abram, Bamemel, Chayim, Shnayim, Yisholim, Below Hamesim, you have to pay Chayim, Shnayim, Yisholim, to pay alive, not dead. Ad kedon gneva, like you stole. Gazeli minayin, amr of Abraham, the heshav of Gazel, sher gozel, kasher gozel. And what's the reason? Behind utaima, the gana vegazlan, kanu miyad, kishotzim or shuzbailim. Avamazik lo nischayim el kamosha hizik. Only what you damage. If I smash somebody's light on his car, I wasn't cone it. So I pay you with the glass. That's still yours. So here's the glass, go sell it. But if I steal it and then it cracks, it's mine. I can't pay you back with that. Okay. So he says, "Ain't shom lo laganav lo laganavon elin izikin." So the question, then the Gemara says, "Va'ani omer and Shmuel adds af l'shoel, so too for a shoel, va'aba moda libaze." And Rav agreed to me. So Gemara asks, "What does it mean af l'shoel? Af l'shoel which way? Af l'shoel shaman or af l'shoel ain't shaman?" Gemara asks, "Sibay lehu haki ka'amar." Is this what he said? Af l'shoel shaman, that the shoel is like nizikin, and therefore, if a shoel borrows something and it gets destroyed, can he pay back the shards in the nevela as part of the payment? Or Odilma Haki Ka'amar Vani Omer Afushoel Ain Shaman, just like a Ganav or a Gazlan, why would you compare show to a god of a gazlov, because we heard the whole thing that if you deny that anything happened, you know, you kofer, what's it called again? Whatever, if you deny it, you learn out there's some gzela in there, right? There's a dinim of gzela if you deny it ever happening by the show. Toentanis ganav by show. So Apu Shoal ain't shaman, but Abba Modali, and Rav agreed to me. So what's the story? Are we shaman by Shoal, or are we not shaman by Shoal? So Tashma, Tahu Gaba the Sha'il Nagra Mechavre. There was a guy who borrowed an axe from his friend, Tabra, and it broke through Pshia, it broke. Because if it was broke through Mesa Machos Malacha, it wouldn't be Chai, because he's a Shoal. So Asla Kame de Rav, they came in front of Rav to ask him, what am I supposed to pay? So Amarle, Rav says back to him, Zil Shalom Le Nargamalya. Go pay him a full fixed axe. Mashma, you can't use what was broken. So it's ain't shaman. So shmami, no, ain't shaman. See, from here, ain't shaman. Mar says, no, adarabba. You only told half a story. Read the Amrle of Kahana of Asi the Rav, right after that happened, Rav Kahana of Asi said to Rav, Dina Hachi? Is this really the din? The shasik. And he was quiet. So shmami, no, that he made a mistake and it really is shaman. That you are shaman. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring out, what's the halacha? Itmar. We are shaman leganav gazlan, just like yes, they hold. Remember, we said that ganav and gazlan is one of the avos nizikin according to the one of list 13 or 24. So if it's by nizakin, if it's nizakin, maybe you can pay back same payment obligations as nizakin. Rapapi amar ain't shaman. Rapapi says no, ain't shaman. Like Shmuel, the hilchosa ain't shaman lo leganav lo legazlan. The halach is that you don't have to, you can't evaluate or you can't pay with the shards not for a ganav or for a gazlan. Aval ushoel shaman, but for a shoel you are shaman. Why, kid? Rav Kahana, Rav Asi. Like we saw the question that Rav Kahana, Rav Asi asked Rav. So again, if you steal something and it breaks, you can't use the shards or the nevela as part of the payment plan. You have to pay a full fledged. You have to pay back what you stole, either the actual thing, pay back a new axe, a new sheep, or, as the Rosh explained to us, or kesef, or pay back the money. Okay, end of that sugya. Now, I got that the Gemara brought us a memory of Ula b'shem Rabbi Elazar. They're going to, because Ula said the name of Elazar said that we say Shaman Lagan of Agazlan, right? That was we don't pass them that way. But since we mentioned that over there, we're going to bring down now six other memories of Ula b'shem Rabbi Elazar. I think we'll do five today. Maybe the last one we'll leave. Maybe it's seven, whatever. Maybe the last one we'll leave for tomorrow. And we'll start. We're going to bring down another one. So the first one is the most complicated one, only because we probably don't know the halachas. I certainly did it before I learned the Gemara. So we'll try to give a hekdama. The Torah says that any woman who gives birth, right, even if there's no dam, any woman who gives birth, even if there's no dam, then there is yemei tahara. But that depends if the blood, if the what's born is in the keva, or if it's a zachar, if a man, boy or girl. If it's in the keva, then she counts 14 days of tumah. But if you remember, tumah here also means that anything she touches tumah, it's tamei also. Not only hasa to her husband, but also anything that she touches. So if she gives birth and there's no blood, however that happens, there's still something called tumas yoledas. Right, so for 14 days, if she gives birth to a girl, she's usher to her husband for 14 days, and she is metame any taharos that she touches. Now, when those 14 days pass, right, so then she goes to the mikvah, she's toveles, and then she's niteres, and she's tahor, and then for the next 60, she counts 66 days of yemei tahara. For the next 66 days, anything that comes out of her does not metame her. She's tahor, she's still mutter to her husband, and anything she touches is still tahor. Because we say any blood that she sees during those 66 days, then it's considered tahora. That's for a girl. For a boy, the numbers are different. It's just 7 days and 33 days. That's the difference. So now, when an ubar is created in the womb, you have the shliya, you have the uterus, you have the placenta that is created. And inside the placenta is where the uterus is. So sometimes there's a miscarriage, and sometimes the vlad doesn't make it, and the woman has to pass the placenta to go out. If I'm wrong in any of the anatomy, please please correct me. So now, when a woman gives birth, when a woman passes the placenta through, even after a miscarriage, that's considered a leda. So for all the rules of the tumas leda we just discussed apply. We just don't know whether it was a zachar or a keva. So yeah, there are halachas on how you figure out, you know, do pesafik. But so we count lechumra. We count. You know, 2 weeks of tumah, and then the yemei tohor. We count different calculations. Nevertheless, if the placenta comes out, that's considered a birth. So now the question is: the Gemara says, "V'amar ula, amar Rav Elazar, Shilya sheyotza miksasa b'yom rishon u'miksasa b'yom sheni. Let's say the placenta began to go to come out on day on Sunday. Doesn't come out, it goes back in, whatever it is. I don't know how that works. It goes back in, and then miksasa b'yom sheni, and then it comes out again. Comes out on the second day. So we're choshesh. Okay. Takes a few hours. Okay, that's good. Fine. So what happens is, so it comes out part of it on Yom Rishon. U'miksasa b'yom sheni. So we're choshesh that maybe the miksas of the shliya that came out on the first day, maybe it doesn't go back. Maybe just part of it comes out. Not even it goes back in. It's broken up. It's pieces. Part of it comes out on day one. Part of it comes out on day two. The thing is, though, the only thing that constitutes the birth is that if there's part of the fetus in there. That's considered the birth. So we're not sure whether or not any of the fetus came out with the first excretion of the shliya. So, but we're choshesh that with the mix of the shliya that came out on day one, most of the called mikluy havlad, most of the what's left of the vlad came out, and therefore that's considered a leida. So therefore, monim min harishon, we count the suf for nekeva, we count the 14 days of tumah from the first day. Because with choshesh, the halacha is that most of the vlad has to come out. With choshesh, that most of the vlad came out on the first day. So we do the chumrah, we pass them that it came out on the first day. But it's the chumrah that brings to a kula, the Gemara is going to ask. Because if you count from the first day, that means, we'll see, Amalei Rabbah, my daita, what's your reasoning for do this? With chumrah, your choshesh for chumrah, that maybe the vlad came out on the first day. But chumrah, the asli de kulahu. This is a chumrah that's going to bring out a kula. The kamit taharat lemi rishon, because now we're going to count that you made tahara from the 2 weeks later from that first day, as opposed to a day later. So on day 66 she's going to be tahor. She's going to, on day 14 she's going to be tahor. Now on day 15, right? So therefore, what are you doing? If you're being choshesh for chumrah, you're doing a chumrah and that's bringing a kula. We can't bring kulas. So amar rava. What's the case? Lachush, right? Lachush to choshesh that maybe the vlad came out on the first day. Choshesh. We are choshesh, and therefore she's mitame taharos misafek from the first day. But mimna, to count the 14 days of Yemei Tumah, lo mimnanya. We don't count elosheni. We do a split din, an inconsistent split din from the suffik. We count the Tumah start, the Tumah tolls from day one, but the tahara only tolls from day two. Okay? That's the halacha. So, fine. That's what he says. So my kamashmalan. So the Gemara asks, what is Ula being mechadish to us that she can be metame taharos even from day one? What's he coming to mechadish to us? The Gemara says the ain mixla shliya below vlad. We're saying that the halacha is that if the shliya starts to come out, we assume that part of the vlad comes out with the shliya as well. So therefore, what happens? So even if only mixla shliya comes out the day one, for sure. Inside of it was part of the vlad. It's just a suffix whether it was rov of vlad or it was mixtas of vlad. Or maybe, right, and therefore it wouldn't be counted a later. So because of the suffix, it's a suffix, therefore we say that we have to assume that rov of it came out, and we start counting from there. So there's a lot of lumbas about here. I'm going to dinner speak. I don't think we have time. I want to talk about the Tosos, but we'll get it. Let's see if we have time. So Gemara says, the halakha that you're teaching me is ain mix or shliya below vlad, that for certain this part of the vlad is in the shliya, whatever it comes out, just a suffix whether it was rov or not. But we already know the halacha that ain mix or shliya below vlad. Why? From a Mishnah in Chulin. We all know the Mishnah in Chulin. Tanina, Mishnah in Chulin, daf ayin zayin. The Mishnah says, shliya, the halacha is, if you shef the behema, right, it matches anything that's inside. So if there's a placenta inside, you can eat that. There's no problem. It's kosher. It's inside where you can eat it. Right, even if there's an Uber inside, what is that? It's a ben pakua, right? That's my daughter's a test in Parshas Vayesha, right? What did Yosef said that they ate Abraham and Chai, and it's ben pakua, so it's kosher. So shliya yotza miksasa asura ba'achila. The Mishnah says if part of the shliya comes out prior to shchita, then asura ba'achila. You can't eat any of the shliya after shchita, even if there's a fetus inside. Why? Because simon vlad b'isha, simon vlad b'behema. The fact that part of the shliya came out before shchita, since we know that vadai, this part of the vlad, is in the uterus, we're mechoshesh that maybe most of the vlad came out and therefore it's usher to eat it, because if it came out before, and the shchita doesn't count for it. Shchita only counts what's inside. So if most of it came out, so therefore we already, and we say, simon vlad b'isha, It definitely came out by a woman. Definitely comes out by an animal. So we already know the halacha that mixer shliya is there ain't mixer shliya below vlad. That when if any part of the placenta comes out, there's always going to be part of the vlad in it. So what's Ula teaching us? What's the new halacha? So Gemara says, imi masnisin. Had we just learned the din by the mishnah, then hava mina. I would have thought the yesh mixer shliya below vlad. No, I would have said that the halacha is that ain shliya below vlad. I would have said yesh mixer shliya below vlad. And mi ikra din, the mixer of the shliya that came out is asr b'achila, but the shliya that was still inside is still much of the achila. But zera mixasa atakula. But the Mishnah makes a zera mixasa atakula because, I don't know how much can you tell, whatever, they make a zera. You can't eat this part of the shliya because you can't eat that part of the shliya. But as Rashi explains, but there's no reason to make a gzeira by the woman, because you'll just check the next day what's there or not. So therefore, if you would say ain mixer shliyah b'vlad, we would say yesh mixer shliyah b'vlad. So comes kamash malan ul to tell us no, the lacha by the woman, the lacha by the animals, the same thing. The reason why it's usher to eat the shliyah that came out prior to that still didn't come out, even though half of it came out before shliyah and this part didn't come out, is because ain mixer shliyah b'vlad. That's the reason why, and it's aim interestingly below that. As a suffix, maybe the whole thing came out. That's not a gzera, but it's a suffix. Okay, that's the first thing. Amar Ula, Amar Elazar. Another din that Ula said in the name of Elazar. Bechor shenitra. You have a bechor, a firstborn son of a human is born shenitra. Machlos what nitra is. Rashi says that it was killed. Betok shloshim yom. It was killed before it became 30 days old, so before you had the chiyuv, before you had to go through the pigeon or ben. So Ula says, ain't posing oso. There's no halakha of put pigeon or ben. Meaning, what does that mean? You say that, you don't say that the pigeon, the chiyuv, was rummy on you from day one to happen on day 30. If he dies before day 30, there's no pigeon or ben. Why? Bechein tani rami bar chama, it's no term learning a braisa. The pasuk says, mitok shen emar padot tifdeh. Right, you say patotif der double gashon yachal afilo nitraf. Even if it was killed, betok shloshim yom tamid lomar ach. It says ach patotif der ach is loshim miut, and the miut is that if it's killed before 30 days, you don't have to pigeon or ben. That's what Rashi says. Tosos, if you look at the last line, Tosos bechor shem nitraf, he says before shemino tam shem nitraf haynu shenase treifa. Doesn't mean that it was killed. If it was killed, for sure you don't have to do pigeon or ben. The question is if he gets diagnosed as a treifa before day 30. And then day 30 comes, you have to do pigeon or ben. So Tosa is saying that we're learning from here, if you're diagnosed as a trefa beforehand, before day 30, there's no chiyuv. Because he says if he's not around by day 30, there's definitely no halacha of doing pigeon or ben. Okay, that's din number two. Din number three. Va'amar Ula, Amar Rav Elazar, another din, Behema Gasa, a nice big animal, like a shor or a chamor, is nicknames for Mashiach. What's the kingdom that effectuates that the purchase of those animals? It's kingdom Mashiach. It's pulling, drawing it towards you. The Gemara says, back in the Mishnah Kiddushin, Hanan Tanan b'Mesira, we learned that Behemagasa can be sent over by Mesira by handing over the reins, right? The Bailam just are most of the reins to the Lokeach, not only by Mashiach, right? So the Gemara answers, Hu de Amr Ki Aitana, Ula B'Shem Rav Lazar holds like the following Tana, that's Tanya, we learned in Abraisa, the Chachamim Omrim Zobazu, meaning a Behemadaka and a Behemagasa, they're b'Mashiach. Rav Shimon Omer Zobazu b'Hagbah. It's by Hagbah. But we see that Ula, the point for us is that Ula, Rav Elazar says Behemagasa is nicknamed b'Mashiach, holds like the Chachamim who say that Behemadaka and a Behemagasa are nicknamed b'Mashiach. That's din number two. Three? Well, no. Three, but the number three. You're correct. Din number four. The Amar Ula and Amar Uma Lav Rav Elazar. Ha'achin shechalku. The father dies, and the achim. Now they're splitting up. They're splitting up the assets. Masha alehen shaman. The clothing that they bought from the assets post mortem. The father died. They took money and they bought clothing. The clothing that's on their back, that's also part of the estate. That also gets them. So how much clothing do you have? This guy has a suit from this store. This guy has a suit from another store. Whatever the cost is, that gets put in and it's part of the division, right? Mashallah and shaman. Whatever the father gave before he died doesn't count. It's talking about what took place after the father died. Umashal b'nein ubnosein. But the clothing that's on their sons and the daughters, on the little kids. And the Mordechai and the Rush bring in also the word, and their wives, ain't shaman. we don't calculate what they're worth and put that in. Rashi explains because it's not the derech for them to go to court for this happen for the evaluation. So that's outside of the estate. Okay, that's the halacha. And Amar Rav Papa says pa'amim sometimes af masha aleyan ain't sham. Sometimes even the begadim that are on them we don't calculate as part of the estate because they'll all agree that the wearer should be wearing them and they don't want to calculate that. What's that case? Also, you can go into this to the sugya. Mishkachas le bigdol achay. Talking about the oldest brother who's wearing nice threads. He's got the good stuff. The nichaluhu to lishtamun mile. Everybody wants him to look nice because he's representing the family and all the things that are going on. He's representing the family. They want him to look nice, so they all agree that he should have these clothing, and that doesn't count. It's not calculated as part of the estate. Okay. Next halacha. Also, you could spend the zman on the next halacha. But Amar Ula Amar Velazar, Shomer Shemasar L'Shomer Pater. If I'm a Shomer and I take what I'm obligated to watch, right? We mentioned a little bit last night also. I'm a Shomer. I make it to somebody else to watch, right? Without permission of the Mafkin, of course, right? So Pater, the Shomer Rishon is Pater, meaning if I'm a Shomer Chinam and I give it to a Gemara's going to explain. I'm going to explain. The Shomer Rishon was Pater. Whatever he was Pater had happened to him, he's Pater if it happens to the second Shomer. So the Gemara says, below me, by a, you don't have to tell me that the halachs like this with Shomer Chinam, Shemassel, Shomer Sachar. Let's say a Shomer Chinam gives it to a Shomer Sachar. Right? A Shomer Chinam is Pater for Geneva Vaveda. A Shomer Sachar is Chayev. So what happens? The Chayfetz was lost or stolen. We still say that the Shomer Chinam is Pater, because just like he was Pater, the Chayfetz was nigdal by him. Because why? The Aluye Ali Lishmiraso. Now all that he did was increase the Shmira. Not increase it, we didn't chiyuv him. Tosa says increase the Shmira, because since the Shomer Sachar knows he's Chayev Geneva Veda, he's going to do a better Shmira. But he would increase the level of Shmira. So there's no Pshi in here. So therefore, just because, even though the Shomer Sachar is Chayev Geneva Veda, nevertheless, the Shomer Chinam, who gave it to the Shomer Sachar, was still Pater. Because if he was Pater, had it happened to him, he's Pater if it happens to the second Shomer. The Gemara says, nobody buy that. El afilu Shomer Sachar, Shemassel Shomer Chinam. Even a Shomer Sachar who gives it over to a Shomer Chinam, and now, the Hashta Garui Gari Lishmoroso, he's diminishing the level of Shmir that's going to take place on the item. Nevertheless, if an Ones happens, it's an Ones, they're both Paters, but you might say, that it's maybe it's only an onus because the Shomer Chinam was watching it. If the Shomer Sachar, may not have happened. The Hashta Garui Garish Muraso Nami Pater Sharei Maser Levendas. He's also Pater because he gave it over to a Vendas. Since the Shomer Sachar would have been Pater if it was an onus, so too if it happens to the Shomer Chinam, he's also Pater. But Rava says Shomer Shemaser LeShomer Chayav. No, he argues. If a Shomer gives it over to another Shomer, he's Chayev. Even for Ones, he's Chayev. Complete if something happens. Below me by Shomer Sachar, Shomer Sachar, Shomer Chinam, the Geru Gari Lishmaraso. Not even if a Shomer Sachar gives it to a Shomer Chinam and he diminishes the level of Shmira, for sure he's Chayev. El Afilu Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Shomer Sachar. Even a Shomer Chinam who gives over the object to a Shomer Sachar, right, and now he's increasing the level of Shmira, he's also Chayev. Why? If an ones took place, the Amrlei, the Mafki, could say to his original Shomer, At Mehemat Li Beshvua, Hai Lo Mahami Beshvua. I gave it to you to watch. If something happened to it and you took a Shvua to Pater yourself, I would have listened to you because I trusted you. I didn't trust this other guy. I don't believe his Shvua. So something, an ones happened to him and he has to swear? I don't believe it. You're the one who has to tell me. You're the one who is responsible for me. I only believe your Shvua. So the Tosfos here says that what happens if the second Shomer is Poshea, is a Pshia. So we said the halacha is if you're putter from what happened, if something happened, you would be putter if it happened. If it happens to the other guy, you're also putter. What happens if the second Shomer is Poshea? If I'm Poshea, I'm Chayev. So Tosfos holds that if the second Shomer is Poshea, then the Rishon is still Chayev. So let's say I'm a Shomer Chinam. I gave it to a Shomer Sachar. The Shomer Sachar is Poshea. So I, the Shomer Chinam, are now Chayev to pay back to the Mafkid, because if I was Poshea, I would be Chayev as well. Makes sense, because Tosfos is saying it's the same dinam. But the Rashba and the Ramban, Ambav Metzia, Daf, I think it's Daf Memvav, I wrote Tesvav, I think it's Daf Memvav, they hold that even if the second Shomer is Poshea, the first Shomer is still Pater. That doesn't see what the Gemara says. Gemara says whatever you're chayev for, you're chayev for. So whatever you putter, you're putter. Mash, whatever you're chayev for, you'd be chayev. So what's the hesber? So I saw in the Sefer Beis Lechem Yehuda by Yehuda Meir Dvir, so a contemporary person in Bnei Brak, has wonderful, wonderful svarim on the Yeshiva Shemasechla. So he says that according to Tosos, what happens is the second Shomer basically steps into my shoes. He's as if he's me. So therefore, whatever I'm chayef for, whatever he's part, whatever I'm part for, whatever I'm part for, if it happens to him, I'm putter. Whatever I'm chayef for, if it happens to me, I'm chayef if it happens to him, because he's me. I have the same chayuvim. He takes my place. So if he's posheya, it is as if I'm posheya, and therefore I'm chayef. But the Ramban and the Rashba, they give another. They say giving it to another shomer is not that he steps into my place. That's the shmira. And I gave it to a ben das. That's the shmira. So I'm not posheya. So even the second guy is posheya. I wasn't posheya because I locked the box by giving it to him. So if he's posheya, I'm not posheya.
But who swears?
Well, according to, if I'm not chayav, right? According to Raman and Rashba, that means the second shomer is chayav to the first.
And who said that the guy? They always, once to accept the shulchan.
Well, that's the machlokes in the Gemara. That's the machlokes in the Gemara. If we go according to the guy, the Mardamer says that he's okay with it as long as a proper shmira. So in this case, the second guy would have to pay to the mafkid according to the Ramban and the Rashba. Okay, everyone, have a good day. Just keep in mind, please, again, the soldiers in Tzahal, and try to attend tonight's gathering and for their schus. Have a wonderful day.